Our theme for the year is Into the Word of God, Delve in 2012. I've been considering maybe shortening that to Into the Word, Delve in 2012. I don't want it to become just a general slogan as like pick up a book, you know, but I think if we use the capital W, we would all be focused on the idea that the capital W designates the Word of God, the Bible. We're going to spend some time thinking about a second component to our goal for the year as a congregation. Last week we talked about the necessity of individually reading the Word, and we gave out some helps, some resources, a sheet that talked about online resources for Bible study, for reading, and we also had an annual daily Bible reading plan. Both of those are available for you if you weren't able to be with us last week. We have those in the entrance on the table so that if you need to get a set of those for yourself, please do so, and I think we have plenty of them for you this morning. And we highlighted the fact that we want to daily practice the exercise of feeding our spirit, the Word of God, just like we feed our bodies. Now, this week we're going to look at another component of this, and that is to look at God's Word in groups. It's a very strong indication in the New Testament that Jesus expected us as his followers to be getting together in groups in order to meet with him. And the theme that we have for this morning is from a Jewish word, havarim, which means friends. And we're going to focus on that to get us going on Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Jesus is talking to his close-knit followers. He's not discussing this with massive crowds, a big stadium of people, or a hillside of people. He's talking to his close group of friends. And he says in verse 19, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." It's really kind of intriguing and fascinating that Jesus is discussing small groups here. Where two or three come together, there I am with them. Why wouldn't he emphasize, I'm with the individual? I'm with the lonely, the solitary person. The person who on their own seeks me. The individual who wants to meet with me privately will find me. Why doesn't he do that? Why is he focusing on groups? And it seems as though Jesus really intended for the bulk of his ministry to focus on groups of people, to develop friendships in plural, as opposed to being like a psychiatrist or a counselor who might sit down with a person one at a time. Why didn't Jesus, sort of like the old Peanuts cartoon with Lucy, why not set up a shop and put psychiatrist across the top or savior across the top, and then people could come individually and get their answers in life? Why didn't he do that? But instead he chose to have a constant camaraderie, a group around him all the time. Why was that? Well, I think there's a power and a dynamic in groups that Jesus wanted to exploit. He wanted to use small groups for advantage. Let's take a look at another passage, this in Luke chapter 6, page 1600. Luke chapter 6 is on page 1600. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, "One of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. And there you see the listing of these original 12 men that Jesus chose to be very close to him, a very tight community. Why did Jesus do that? He had many followers that listened to him, many students of his that were on the route preaching and teaching, and we see the thousands of people that adored him by the time he comes to Jerusalem, and the crowds are quite massive of the people that know of him. But during his 3-year public ministry, he chooses 12 individuals, a relatively small group, and he spends the vast majority of his time talking with these people and invests the bulk of his time with these 12 men. We need to learn something about getting close to Jesus and faith development from this small group activity. And in order to learn about that, we're going to discuss what it was like to be a follower of Jesus in his day and to have him as our rabbi, as our religious teacher. Again, much of the information that I'm getting is coming from this book, Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. And it describes what it would have been like to be what was called a haverim. Now, singular, the word is haver, which means friend. Plural, haverim, friends. And what we're thinking about here is not just social acquaintances, not just an individual whom maybe you did some business transactions, maybe went to the market and bought some meat, or someone that you met, you know, in the marketplace in Jesus' day, or someone that lived that your parents knew, or something like this, and you know the family casually. Not just like this. These kind of friends are study friends. These friends are scripture friends that we're talking about. So listen to this description. As critical as it was to study with a rabbi, a religious leader, it was considered essential to have one or two people who could learn right along with you. Fellow students could ask each other questions that they might be too embarrassed to ask their teachers. Also, partners could learn from each other. Was Jesus aware of this approach to studying Scripture? Consider the words of the early rabbis who said, "When two sit together and exchange words of Torah, which is the Word, then the divine presence dwells among them." Now listen to the words of Jesus. "Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." You can hardly miss the similarity. Like other Jewish teachers of his time, Jesus affirmed his followers' need for community. What's more, since Jesus is himself the Word of God, it makes sense that he would promise to be present as we come together to study the Scriptures. Our westernized minds may struggle with this idea. We tend to believe that the only way to deeply encounter God is through solitary prayer and study. But Jesus implies that his presence will be felt most often in the presence of a small group of haverim. It seems like Jesus was setting a precedent for us, that he was trying to tell us that the ideal setting for getting to know him is not alone with a Bible. Now that might be kind of shocking, because in our culture it seems like that in many traditions of Christianity, that's the ultimate. We have one of our great icons of the very, very religious individual that painting, that image, and many times Christians have a print of this, of the older man with a whitened beard and his bowl of food in front of him, and he is so intently hunched over praying alone. And we have an image of, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and we have this idea that if we, in our individuality, open the door for Jesus and invite him into our heart, there's a lot of emphasis on individuality in North American Christianity. Could we be missing one of the most important components of getting to know Christ, and that is the group that he called to be collectively together with him? Let me share a little bit more about this idea of the Havarim, or scripture friends. One of the authors here, Lois Tvertberg, has this to say. Looking back over my life, I can see the wisdom of having Havarim. When I'm part of an excellent Bible study group, all sorts of insights surface that I would not find on my own. And when I hear stories of how God is working in other people's lives, it makes my reading of Scripture all the more powerful. Some of the best relationships I have developed are with my Havarim. How easy it is to become close to others when you are spending time together discussing God's Word and praying for each other. But there is more to being a Haver than just being a Christian friend. A Haver is a fellow disciple who earnestly desires to grapple with others over issues of faith. Someone who wants to delve into God's Word. Ah, I like that word. Delve into the Word of God. Delve in 2012. Someone who wants to delve into God's Word, to be challenged and refined. A Haver is like a spiritual jogging partner. Someone from whom or for whom you'll crawl out of bed on a rainy morning, putting on your running shoes instead of hitting the snooze button. Once you're up and running together, your pace is a little faster. You keep going a little longer. You are pushed intellectually and spiritually. If we really want to mature in faith as the disciples, we need to develop relationships that force us to grow by getting ourselves some Havarim. So here now is a new emphasis that I'd like for us to develop in our congregation for this year. Not just individual time with the Lord, but group together time with God. Excuse me, I've had Beth put up, and we should appreciate Beth's gifts and talents. She's put up a poster board with a sign-up sheet. It's got 120 spots on this. And one of our goals this year is to get 100 new people involved in Scripture study. Maybe we should call it Scripture Friendship Time, because the New Testament does call it discipleship. It calls it, a disciple is a student of Jesus. So we want to be in groups studying what the Scriptures say. But it's also this friendship, as we just learned, so that it's not just this horrible rote studying and trying to pound information and facts into our brain, but it's relational, so that we learn to get to know each other better in the Lord. Now, here's the truth. Our culture doesn't support that. Our culture pushes individuality. Even to the point that we can be a member of a church for a long period of time and have never really developed Scripture friends. We can see each other on a weekly basis. We can recognize each other's face. And we can discuss light topics like the weather, or we can talk about the Packers game or something like that, but never ever break that surface. You remember what I was saying, that the goal this year is to get beyond the surface, to delve down into the Word of God. And what it takes in order to do that between two people is to start to actually get together in order to discuss the Word of God. I will tell you honestly that there are many people in the congregation here that I know you by name, I recognize you, but I know almost nothing about you. You're an acquaintance in the Christian faith because we've never spent time together in the Word of God. But then there are other individuals that over the years have been in Bible classes, and I see those faces of individuals that we've spent time in the Word of God, and I've heard their comments. Listen to what they had to say. Heard the questions that they ask. Their insights and experiences and the matters that they want to bring up in prayer and in Bible classes, offering prayers to God. These are Havarim. These are scripture friends to me. And we know each other on beyond just a surface relationship. We know each other deeper than that in faith. I believe it's Jesus' intent that all Christians have Havarim, scripture friends. And maybe that's been a part of our life that's never really been developed as a Christian. Then I hope that we'll all get started on that to find out what a blessing and what a joy that is. For about 20 years or so, I ran alone. I had people that invited me to do various run for the heart or run for this or that and all. And sometimes they happened on a Sunday morning and I was not able to, of course, do this because I was in the house of the Lord. Other times it was on Saturdays and I just never did it. And I always ran on my own. At times it was really difficult. There were many times I wanted to quit. It was tremendously boring for many years. And it was probably a lot harder to do than it needed to be if I would have found friends to jog with. There were once or twice, or actually a few times over the years, where I'd be out running, and my path and another individual's path would coincide. And we would jog together for a period of time and just chat for a few minutes. Those were marvelous moments because it made you forget the pain, made you forget the fatigue, and it allowed you to connect with somebody else who is with you on this journey of self-improvement. Now that I've given up running and I'm walking on a treadmill, I go to a health club. And now there's a forced community of sorts as you stand on the machines. And I've made it a point to have conversation with people, to talk to them as they're walking nearby. And I realize now I could have had a lot more interesting experience and maybe a little bit more encouragement if I would have given more credence to the social aspect of working out. If I would have found a partner or two to work out with, I could have had a lot more variety and more encouragement in the process. So now I'm learning something after 20 years of trying to do it on my own. I'm learning something that's a terrific joy, which is to have friends with you and people that you can converse with while you're doing this. I suppose part of it is the pride's been humbled a little. I find that I don't have to go out and tackle the world. I can go along with other people. Don't have to worry about getting embarrassed. If I run with other people and they're more fit than me, then I don't feel good about myself and all that kind of stuff. You know how all these little mental games go. It's the same with joining a Bible study group. feeling like, well, I'm smart enough or I'm good enough. I need to do it on my own. I don't need to make time for other people. Or else you're afraid of your intellect. You're afraid your ego is going to be hurt because you don't know enough. Things like this. Jesus didn't call experts. He got people where they first were, their first steps. I remember the first time I went out to run. It was the middle of, I think it was January. I was so disgusted with myself and my lack of fitness that I decided I was going to do something now and not wait until the weather got better. So I went out the door and I started running. I didn't even make it a quarter mile. I was sucking air. I was so out of shape. I was in such pathetic shape, I didn't even make it a quarter mile before I had to stop. Well, what condition are you in? What shape are you in? It doesn't matter. Jesus called people where they were and said, let's form a group and let's get to know me. And that's what we're asking for you to do this year. To find yourself some scripture friends. Some people that are kind of like spiritual jogging partners for you. So that you can start in on the process and enjoy the journey together. We're going to leave that sign up through the year. And we're going to keep inviting you to take that opportunity. Now, you know, maybe as you sit here this morning, you think, I don't have a single solitary Christian friend that I've studied scriptures with. We've got some groups that are already going. We've got them already set up and started. And we have the capacity. We've got some excellent lay Christians, some excellent people in the pews that have the ability to teach a class. And if we need to add more classes, we can add more classes. But think about what Jesus wanted. Do you have to go it alone? Do you have to face all of your struggles individually? Is there nothing more that can be contributed and rounded out in your faith that other people have experienced or individuals can contribute? Once we start to look at it properly, from Jesus' perspective, the idea of having Bible friends sounds pretty appealing. And that's why we're going to ask you to get connected with a group. To make that decision that you're going to put aside any pride issues, I'm afraid I won't know anything, to put aside any fear. You know, Satan's going to try to stop you from doing it because he doesn't want you to get that blessing. But the Lord Jesus wants you to have spiritual friends in the Word. If you do this, this might be one of the most profound blessings and joyful things you maybe ever decided to do as a believer. It could change your entire outlook of how your faith is lived. I hope you will be one of these people that will sign up. One of these people that will commit themselves to long-term Bible friendship. Get yourself, as the ancient Jewish rabbis said, some haverim, some scripture friends. Amen.